The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Ah, crap. Bigger than you.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
It's 4 a.m. once again, and that means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I am your host, as always, Tony, and joining me today is...
Brian.
Rob.
I'm Joe, and I like your ass. I'd like to wear it as a hat.
But Joe, you're already wearing an ass hat.
Never have too many
ass hats. She had no butt. She had no butt. I
got all... And we're derailed to meet.
Listen, Brian... It's white men in the 90s.
I can tell.
And that's all.
And if you can't tell from all that, we are doing City Slickers from 1991, also known in France as Life, Love, Cows, or in Greece as So What Did You Do in the Far West, Dad? That's what it translates to,
that's,
folks.
That's amazing.
I life-loved some cows.
It was directed by Ron Underwood, who brought us a fan favorite from this show, Tremors. He also did Heart and Soul, Speechless, Mighty Joe Young, and The Adventures of Pluto Nash, and then a bunch of direct-to-TV movies and TV shows.
Yeah, after Pluto Nash, they don't let you direct these
movies. That is correct.
He totally
and you're done.
He totally stole the canyon scene from his own movie. I don't remember which one came out. Which one came out first? Tremors or... Yeah, Tremors came out in like... I don't know. Which one came out first?
I don't remember.
Tremors came out first.
Okay.
That was like episode two. Was like a long time ago.
That was episode two, yeah.
Tremors came out a year before this. So, yeah. He just reused
the
canyon scene. Tremors was the movie he filmed while scouting for this one, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Anyway... So what's your personal history with this movie, Rob?
I've seen this movie a bunch of times. I think the most recently, like, this past summer, I watched it.
All right. Joe?
I think I saw this once in the theaters, and I remember liking it, but...
All right, Brian?
I saw this movie a bunch of times as a kid. I love this movie. Like, I don't know. I liked it a lot. I saw it, like, with swears or without swears. I remember seeing it on Showtime.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I don't really think with or without swears really changes it all that much.
Not really.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I saw this when I was young. I think I might have seen it somewhere around there since, maybe on TV or something. But I never really thought much about it because when I first saw it, I was too young to really get a lot of the jokes. I thought Norman was cute. But it was about it. So a brief history of this movie. Robin Williams was considered for the role, or a role, I should say, in this movie at one point. But he was committed to doing Hook at the time, so that was a no-go.
He was going
to
be Norman.
He would have done it, too.
Yeah, he would have.
They would have had to shave him a little bit, though.
Just a little bit.
Rick Moranis was also going to be in the movie in the Daniel Stern role, but he had some family issues
to take care of. He was originally going to play Curly.
That was when he stopped acting at that point, right?
I believe that was when.
Yeah.
It's some family stuff. But... though Jack Palance was the person in mind when this role was written, he originally couldn't do it, so they talked to Charles Bronson, who apparently very roughly told them to go flip themselves off because he didn't like that the character died.
Huh?
He didn't like that the character died.
I don't die in my movies, pal.
I guess.
I'm the one that does the killing.
Daniel Stern declined writing lessons when preparing for this role because he wanted to be more convincing at being a bad horse rider. Like you do, I guess.
I mean, that's...
I just want to, like, not die on the horse, so...
Yeah, yeah.
And Billy Crystal's story about his favorite day with his father and going to the baseball game is all just totally true.
Yeah, that was it. That was for real.
Yeah. He does, in fact, still have that pamphlet or whatever you call it.
Yeah, because the way you know it's true is because the whole movie, he's a Mets fan. And that story will make you a Yankees fan the rest of your life. And so you can tell that, like, that was not from the movie. That was his own story, because otherwise it would have been Shea Stadium and not.
I was saying when we were watching it, like, I wonder how much extra they had to pay him to get him to wear the Mets hat.
Actually, well, yeah, that there might have been some lies in all that because he is a diehard Yankees fan.
Yeah, yeah.
But the reason he was wearing all Mets stuff is because this was at the height of Comics Relief, and I don't know if it's like a manager or the Mets in general or a bunch of the players, but they continuously donated quite a bit of money, which is why he decided.
Are you sure he's not just colorblind? I just saw the New York sign. And
oh, they're different.
All right, I don't
understand. They're different.
I don't know how I don't know how your bowling works or whatever that game is you're talking about. Okay,
foosball.
Fast hands foosball.
All right. So, does anyone want to guess at how much money this movie cost to make?
$27 million.
Three cows and a bottle of scotch for Jack Palance.
More than three cows on the screen at once.
No, but those were for him.
Yeah, those were for Jack. I'm merely talking.
Okay, we're itemizing my actors.
Yes,
okay.
Correct.
So, what is your total, Rob? Let's get to the total.
I want those cows in my trailer.
That's not a total. It's totally creepy.
That's $40 million.
A dollar.
That was a good try, Joe, but unfortunately, Brian nailed it. It was $27
million. Word?
Yeah. Did you really? Nice. Wow.
I rounded up a bit, but like, I'll show you in a moment. It's $27 million. Exactly.
We'll take your word for it.
Does anyone want to guess how much it made worldwide?
I'm guessing $60 million.
My generosity knows no bounds. I'm going to say $100.
A dollar.
She was at $2.
Nice try again, Joe, but I'm afraid everyone underbid here because it was $180 million.
Wow, that much.
Oh,
yeah, worldwide. Wow. It was 124, I think, in the U.S.
I figured it's like tripled his money, not like a whole lot.
They got a sequel out of it.
Yeah.
You could say it was a cash cow.
Oh, you could.
God.
Did you guys miss me?
Joe, I almost want to hit you, but I missed you. So, like, yeah.
You'll notice I'm sitting as far away from you as possible right now.
That's because of the smell.
Yeah, also because of the smell.
Yeah, I'm a little gassy today.
A little?
A little bit.
You got to think about
the
how
cows
much
in this movie were a little gassy.
You got to think about how much money it would make to make a sequel so good that it would literally take Jack Palance out of his grave.
You know, for a movie about driving cattle, we really didn't get any kind of good cow fart jokes.
I am not sad about that.
Yeah, no, I'm totally cool with that myself.
There was not a poop to be seen in this film.
There was.
Yeah. Was there?
I believe there was when they first got to the ranch.
Oh, would one of them step in it or something?
No, it was just in the background. But
oh, that's... Yeah, okay.
There are no poop
I mean, that's
jokes.
Just because you can't film at a cattle ranch without there being poop somewhere.
Yeah, but...
So, this movie stars Billy Crystal, Daniel Stern, and that Mario-looking guy that nobody remembers being in this movie.
Yeah.
I believe his name is Ed Furillo. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the character. That's Bruno Kirby.
That's Bruno.
Also stars Patricia Wedig as Barbara Robbins, Helen Slater as Bonnie Rayburn, and Jack Palance as
himself.
As Skeleton.
I'm just going to talk with a pretzel in my mouth the whole time.
That's what you call it? Okay.
It's a pretzel, Brian. Just because it's shaped like a penis, they don't make it one.
Was that a real voice? Was it a real person?
What do you think it was?
Did that come out of your mouth?
It sounded like she was vibrating the whole time.
It sounded like someone that was making a custom, a pretend voice from a character from a TV show. And I don't even know how this. That's what it sounded like.
Oh, yeah. A union show next door.
You still haven't watched Big Mouth yet, have you? But one of the characters in Big Mouth sounded like that. Like, that's what I was like. Is that a real person?
Well, I'm pretty
Brian,
sure.
If you ask me one more time,
I'm gonna ask you every fucking day, every day.
Brian, you seen that Infinity War trailer yet?
No, not yet.
Rob, you seen Baby Driver yet?
I have, actually.
Yeah.
The baby drives the car off a cliff because it's a baby and it can't reach the wheel. It dies horribly.
No, that's Boss Baby. It's totally different. All right, so
that's my review of Baby Driver.
Since I'm pretty sure the listening audience didn't catch any of that, none of that means shit to anyone. But yeah, there apparently was an SNL character being developed in Rob's hallway here.
Also, a special guest star this week is The Fly. Rob has been defeated by it in the first encounter.
I tail whipped him in the kitchen.
It's led to the death of Rob's beer.
It did lead to not death.
Almost the death of Rob's laptop.
Almost, yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to de-stickify that later.
So, the thing you don't normally do? Never mind.
No.
Never mind.
No, Brian. No.
He lets that coat on.
It's protected now.
It's a glorious sheen.
So, we should probably start talking about
City Slickers!
This movie.
Yeah.
What?
They start with the running of the bulls.
Yo, Spain, they got their holiday game up. Like, I don't know where they come up with this stuff. But they're like, all right, here's an idea for a celebration. We'll just get a bunch of people. We'll just sick bulls on them, and they'll run for their lives. It'll be awesome.
They were like, all right, let's come up with a holiday. What do we got?
Pile of tomatoes. Just throw them at each other. Yeah. Fuck it.
They were like in the planning committee, and they're just sitting there surrounded by bulls. Like baskets of tomatoes everywhere. They're like, I mean, I guess we could, I don't know, you want to feed tomatoes to bulls? Does that sound like fun? Like, no, that sounds kind of dumb. You want to, I don't know.
Wow, your face!
Exactly. And then the bull gets upset and starts running around the room. And they're like, run away! And there you go. Legends are born.
Sure. So that's happening with Billy Crystal, Daniel Stern, and Bruno Kirby. Running for their lives.
It's Mitch. It's Ed.
And Phil.
And Phil.
Sure it is. Never gonna remember. So anyway, they're running, and because this is like some kind of tradition, we find out they do this every year. Or
they do something so crazy often. Every year.
Yeah, Spain. Yeah. Spain does do that every year.
Ed always has these ideas to do like things to prove you're alive still. So like he wants to do skydiving next and stuff.
It's like a slightly tamer Jigsaw.
That's quite the jump.
I guess.
That's quite the jump.
I guess. So,
that's one way to put it.
So Danny Glover's just like following them around, yeah. Not understanding what's going on the whole time.
All right, next year, you're going to come to my basement. I'm just going to make you run through a gauntlet of barbed wire.
Yeah, is that the third movie when Billy Crystal just completely refuses to go on these trips? He just kidnaps him and like puts him in like some weird bear trap around his head. And... Mm-hmm. Forces him to feel alive.
He's got to get a key out of Daniel Stern's intestines. This franchise really took a dark turn.
Yeah, for sure it did.
Pachi flowers. He didn't appreciate them.
All right, so they're running.
Yep.
Also, quick note for all those listening.
Running from themselves.
Remember this note for our next episode. Anyway, continue. What?
Wait, what?
Never mind. You'll find out. Continue.
They're running, and then the bulls run off Daniel Stern, Phil's character. They run off Ed, and, like, they're still chasing Mitch, and, like, he gets a horn in his butthole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, legit.
Just like, bull right to the ass.
That's how you end the scene. He's going, Argh! And the horn in his butt.
Smash cut to really? A dumb, boring cartoon.
Yeah, really weird cartoon credits.
Really slow.
So, on that note, 90s. Not only is the opening cartoony, like, weird, which I remember as a kid, I was cool with it, but the music for most of the movie is the same kind of like I'm at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm at Disney in the theme park.
Hoop-dee-doo review.
Oh, yeah, I'm about to get on a ride somewhere, you know, like, it's that whole kind of like,
it's not good music.
Yeah. But that's like the whole movie. There's a few scenes that like to pick up the seriousness of it, but like the whole movie that's happening.
John Williams, this is not.
Mm. Right, because then it would sound exactly like Star Wars.
So amazing.
But listen, I didn't say it was bad. I'm just saying, play random clips of his music and try and tell what's what. It gets muddled.
Have an opening credit sequence that takes forever.
Sure did.
Yeah, much like this podcast.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we cut to the doctor's office. Billy Crystal's getting his ass sewn shut by a surgeon that can't speak English.
Because why not?
He pulls off a sick photobomb. Yeah, that photobomb is great. Right when he's about to take the picture.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
He understood English enough for that. Whatever. They go home. We cut to a year later. It's his 39th birthday. Billy Crystal's, I should say. He gets the annual call from his mother. The same old nonsense. And, you know, he's just feeling kind of like complacent and trapped in his life. He's got a mediocre job that's not too impressive to anyone.
He has what constitutes problems in the 90s.
Right. He doesn't even have a mediocre job. He's got a good job. He's just been at it so long.
He has a wife and kids.
Well, it pays well, but it's not very... interesting fulfilling. Or exciting or fulfilling or as we find out from a lovely scene where his son, a very young Jake Gyllenhaal making his debut into films, brings him into class.
I did not notice that.
Right after this burly construction worker tells a lovely tale to
this guy's
class.
Amazing. This guy's amazing. The story he tells, the way he tells it, it's fucking amazing.
This bitch.
He's calling people stupid bitches. He's swearing. Like it's
he
just,
threw a few shit words in there too. Like about this woman got her legs crushed by her cream.
This freaking bitch over here got her legs crushed because she was bitching around all over the job site.
You get the superhuman strength sometimes.
Yeah, the lesson is don't go where you're not supposed to. You might get your dumb little shit cells crushed.
No. Don't do drugs.
Yeah, not be somewhere where people with superhuman strength can lift the crane up. Don't do drugs.
Drink your drugs. Stay in work. Don't do school. You can get work.
Milk.
All right. Say no to school. So, yeah, he gets up there. Well, his son tries to introduce him as a submarine, but he's like, no, I purchase advertising.
Yeah, the submarine thing is just one of my sexual fetishes.
How to go deep sea diving, you know what I mean?
One of my many.
I prefer the glass bottom boat.
But yeah,
down periscope, you know?
He's giving the class this whole spiel about how much he just basically hates his life. Maybe not hates, but, you know, how just unhappy he is.
Spoiler, this movie is about a midlife crisis. That's what this, which as a kid, I didn't realize.
Right.
Yeah.
White, middle class.
This is, again, crisis. I didn't get any of this. But.
And in that regard, I feel it has not aged well in that it's like, jobs. Like, we're all pushing 39 and we work tail. Like,
I was like.
So how is it not aged well?
Yeah, but
where are you going with this, Joe? Because I related with a lot of this.
Yeah.
Well, I'd take a well-paid job that I could have a house in the city and, you know, afford a family and all that. Like,
well, yeah.
I just got that last month.
I was actually envious of him because he's talking about how miserable it is. I'm like, yeah, I have all that except less money and no wife for kids.
Yeah.
So
that's what I mean. He's like, oh, I have all these problems.
I mean, in all fairness, it's the 90s, so chances are he probably couldn't afford the house that he lived in with his kids, but he had one of credit.
It's the Bush Jr. 90s, so yeah. Yeah, Clinton hasn't come in yet.
Yeah, like he hasn't got to the point where
for like the late 90s.
Where the market crashes and all his money's gone. Like, sure. He'll be at the bank with that guy talking about, well, I just gave you options. Yeah. You chose all of them. Fuck you guys.
It's like, dude, do you see me right now? I'm Jack Conan O'Brien. I will kill you.
I came here to ask you the best option, and this is what you do. Anyway, enough about that.
So he launches into this horrible summary of what, like, awaits these kids. And, like, your 20s go by, and I forgot exactly what he said, but, like, basically he just sums up your entire life, says it sucks, and then you die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much just you'll have a lot of fun in your 20s, which will go by very quickly. Your 30s, you'll have a family and a mediocre job, and then you'll be wishing you were back in your 20s, and then you'll just get slowly older and, and more decrepit until you die.
More crap.
Yeah.
But thankfully, after he brings everybody down, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog comes up because he's one of the kids' dads. I'm not sure how that worked out, but so he kind of smoothed everything over.
Yeah. Like, he's that guy where, like, at your job, you never want to say more than hey, because the minute you say how you doing, he unloads all the bullshit you don't hear.
Let me complain at you for a while.
Yeah, it's like, fuck! I'm supposed to say hi, keep going. It's just hi, hello, like, hi.
Now I'm on suicide watch.
I had that happen to me in one of the stores I was in. I would say hello to her, and I would ask, how you doing? And she would start crying. I'm like, fuck. Just, fuck. Like, every time.
Sorry if you're listening, by the way.
Just not listening.
No, he's just sorry to all of the listeners.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a blanket statement.
You made it this far. I'm sorry. It's not going to get any better.
Just to backtrack for a quick moment, just shout out to Return from Jeffrey Tambor. He plays the boss. Mm-hmm. In his job, returning to the podcast.
But what else was he in?
Hellboy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And, and Heavyweights.
Oh, that's correct. Oh, wow. I forgot about that one.
My goodness.
Fucking punches Ben Stiller right in his face.
Well, he should.
So it's Mitch's birthday, having a party. His friends all come. This party is amazing, by the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to have been at the party, but not involved in the party. I just want to watch the bullshit that happens.
You'd like to be behind like a two-way mirror.
Right. Because it's had to
be the party.
Had to be amazing.
Just chain smoking back there. Yeah. Like,
I'm not eating snacks the whole time. Just eating. But,
you're going to have some of these hors d'oeuvres and watch the chaos happen.
So at this party, his friends get him 2 weeks at a dude ranch to herd cattle across state lines, whatever.
And what is a dude ranch for those listening?
You'd be like cowboys and stuff. Like, you know, you ranchers, whatever.
Yeah, get to pretend you're a cowboy for a while.
I mean, I guess people like that shit, whatever. So, well.
Brian, after you played Red Dead Redemption, you would have done that.
No, I told, at one point I wanted to ride horses, then I did it, and I was like, fuck this. Like, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, but you want to walk around at Chaps with a six gun.
He just said anyway.
But if there was a camp where you could, like, just ride by on a horse and throw a lasso at someone and just drag them around. Not so much.
Zombies and stuff. Like. But, yeah, so they give him this gift. He's like, I can't go because my wife wants to go to Florida to see her parents. I promised her.
I'm sorry, but yeah, it's kind of a fuck you. Like, I know that it was well-intended, but we got you this trip for your vacation that's coming up and when you have 2 weeks off or whatever in a month or whatever it is. Like, as if you just certainly wouldn't have plans.
Yeah, it's like, we didn't bother to check with your wife.
Here's the thing. If all you do is bitch and complain about your life, they're going to assume you don't have plans.
I guess, but...
But, like, my thing is, like, He doesn't want to go. He can tell he doesn't want to go. His wife's nice excuse. But like he probably has said no to everything that they proposed. So like this, why would this be any different? Why would this be any different? Of course he don't want to go. Of course.
What? Yeah, I told you I didn't want to do the parachuting. I don't want to do this.
I would have been like, Ed, why does everything you want to do involve cows? I just took a bull up by the ass.
Yeah, that'd be the other thing. Like, I've had enough cow for a while.
How about skydiving with cows?
You have a very small target. You have to land on the back of a cow. Like, why with the cows?
You just hold the udders.
Stop with the cows.
Parachute.
So in the middle of this, we get an interaction with Phil and his wife. His wife sucks.
His wife sucks.
Like, she just sucks. And she's like, Daddy's a little girl, whatever. Find out her dad owns a grocery store where he's a manager of, where Phil's a manager of. Phil hates his wife, hates her dad. All of a sudden the door rings and Mitch is like, all my friends are here, who the fuck is this? I mean, he almost says that exactly.
Just about.
Just about. And we see Bart Simpson Lisa opens the door. Lisa Simpson. The woman who does her voice.
Yeah, no, it's like Lee Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Lisa Simpson. Like, I know I'm still a child in the cartoon, but, you know, the show's been on long enough. Legally, I'm 30.
It's weird
because, like, everybody else in the Simpsons cast does voices for their characters, and for Yeardley Smith, it's just her voice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Nancy Cartwright kind of just sounds like Bart, right?
Not really.
No, I think she puts it on.
She sounds like a woman.
Yeah.
So like does Bart. Adult woman. Nah.
And doesn't Nancy Cartwright do other voices, too? Mm-hmm. Like, I think Yeardley Smith's the only one that does just one voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think either way.
The closest to that would probably be Marge. She only does Marge. She might just sound like Marge. But anyway.
So how the hell did Yeardley Smith know he was here?
She said the assistant manager told her where he was gonna be tonight. Yeah. Wow. Which, first side note, like, why would you pick this place, this awkward situation to come and vent what's going on? You could pick a better
put and just yell your problems.
Yeah, like
the whole party
because you're 20 years old.
Yeah,
no,
she's Brian freaking the hell out
at the party. Is loving this. This is amazing.
He was like, I was thinking about going. But pass me the chips. We're staying another 15 minutes.
Brian's like, am I gonna open a third beer? Yes, I am. Yeah. Right. Yes, I am.
Oh, this is what I've been waiting for.
But she's like, he sees her and he's like, oh shit. She's like, I gotta talk to you in that voice that only she has, real loud, piercing, you know, cuts through silence. She's like, I'm late. He goes, all right, well, for what? I don't know. Late for work? I don't know. Why are you here? Who's on register 9? Like, why are you here?
Who's on register 9?
Yeah, that's the first question, is who's on register 9?
Granted, I've known people.
She appears to have left in the middle of her shift.
Yeah. So apparently she's pregnant. She knows because she's one of the tests from work. She used in the back room. Mm-hmm. It came out blue. He's like, fuck. And his wife's like, why is she telling you this? He's like, I'm her manager. She gets her health plan coverage. She gotta tell.
Not buying.
His wife's like, fuck you.
Yeah,
like,
not buying that shit.
I
won't buy that for a dog.
Just priceless. And I'm glad like they don't linger too long on it. Like they yell back and forth.
They have a good explosion.
Yeah, like but like they don't go on with the party. After this party just ends, like they show the party being over. They don't tell how long it took, whatever, whatever. But like, oh, just to be in that room.
Another side note. I love the line, if hate were people, I am China.
If hate were a number of people, I'd be China.
Oh, God. So, yeah, his life's in shambles.
And, like, it's weird because, like, it's kind of framed in a way you want to, like, feel sorry for him because the situation sucks. But I'm like, dude, this is your fault.
It is.
Man, this is all your fault. You cheat on your wife, so that's what you get. But, like... Like, no one feels bad for you right now. Like, sorry, dude. Like,
Joe's really making up for lost time there.
Yeah. His ass missed his microphone.
Yeah.
Brian, can you get some of yours on there?
No. I'm trying to not shit myself, so.
Yeah, but it'd make me laugh.
I mean, you've spilled beer on your floor. Do you want shit on your floor, too?
I mean, at this point, I got to clean the floor either way.
He wants to be in, like, a fart sandwich between the two of us.
No, I got the candle.
Yeah, Joe's ass is a diva. It's going to take up enough of the mic. We don't need anything else.
All right.
Piece of rectal diva.
So,
after the party, now it's Mitch's wife alone. And I guess she picks this time. Now, this is me personally feeling weird. Like, so far, this movie, all we've seen is him going through some shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's confused. He don't know what's going on. So his wife takes this moment to make it about her. And she's like, what did I do to make you different towards me? Like, you don't want me anymore. Yeah. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm going through some shit. Where'd you get this from? Like, she's like, but like, you just want all this other stuff. You don't want me anymore. Like, I make you feel lost. He's like, no, you don't. Like, why now? Why does she pick now?
Because of the situation that just transpired, obviously.
Yeah, she's worried that he's going to end up like Daniel Stern, whoever he is.
Phil.
All right, she's worried he's going to end up like Phil because she knows he's unhappy and he knows, well, she quote-unquote knows how guys think, which is, if I'm not happy at work and I'm not happy at home, I'm going to be happy in my crotch, I believe is how that translated.
I think that's exactly what she said.
Yeah, so she's worried he's going to start screwing around, and she doesn't want that. So, yeah, she tells him to take the 2 weeks to go with his friends, do this cattle thing, and quote-unquote find his smile.
Like, the worst part about that for me was, like, she's like, you're mistaking me. You're making it sound... You think that I'm saying, I don't mind if you don't come. No, I'm saying, I don't want you to come with me. And I'm like, well, fuck.
Okay.
Like, what the fuck? I already feel like shit as it is. Now my wife's telling me she don't want, like, what? Are you serious? Like,
right. Wait, quick. I also, they said, you know, go find your smile. And he's like, well, what if I can't find it? And she's like, well, we'll jump off that bridge when we come to it or whatever. But it's like, what if he does and he finds that he's happier without you? Yeah. Like, what is your plan here?
All right. So let me play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
A little bit. So, I mean, if you lived with somebody, and I'm going to grant, yes, her timing was not on point, right?
She only had like 90 minutes of movie to work with. Exactly. She was only in like half an hour of it. She didn't have a lot of
choice. This shit's going to move quick, folks. Come on.
But if you live with somebody who's like constantly just throwing themselves a pity party, it's like it starts affecting your life, and they become just a bummer to be around if all they're going to do is complain about everything and see everything as a negative situation.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes heavy. That gets heavy to deal with. And yeah, so she was like, I don't want you there because you're just going to make me miserable the whole time because you're going to be miserable the whole time.
Well, listen, I already said I could stay home on Christmas. If this is how you're going to tell me you don't want me to come.
No, but I get it. I just want you to go be a cowboy for a while and stop being a bitch.
Well, we can go practice to be witchers.
Yeah.
Saying.
Or learn Quidditch. For
a podcast, meet Geralt.
Right, everybody.
I am not playing Gwent. I don't care.
But it's fun, though.
No, it's not.
Everyone, write into the 4AM podcast at the4ampodcast.com. The 4AM podcast at gmail.com. Let us know if you think we should go to Witcher Camp.
Yeah.
You need
to buy like probably at least 1,000 t-shirts to make that possible.
Or Quidditch Camp, which we could just do in the field behind my apartment.
Yeah, I'm not saying we will go. I just want the audience to weigh in on if we should go.
Oh, why would they say no to that?
I'm saying, like.
But if you guys buy enough t-shirts, we'll record it.
It will not be
a legit Witcher camp. It'll still be in the field behind my apartment.
Yeah, if our five listeners want to have enough of our t-shirts,
no, we're up like 20 now.
to clothe them for the rest of the year, we might actually be able to afford them.
Well, if one of them does like that guy that put on like 100 t-shirts, all with our t-shirt, that could probably...
Whoa. What if I just put on 100 pounds and try and fit a t-shirt over myself?
Isn't that what you're doing now?
Video to watch.
I don't even know where I was going with that. All right,
so
isn't that what we're doing right now?
Back to this scene. I don't know. I think it's just growing up. Pretty much being depressed as the entirety of my adult life, but it's like I just really had trouble identifying with this dude. I'm like, boo hoo, you know, why don't you celebrate what you do have and shut up?
Well, I mean, yeah, but the same could be said for everybody.
True.
This got heavy. This got real heavy. All right.
Yeah. There's always someone that has it better. There's always someone that has it worse. Yeah. It's hard to see that when you're in your spot.
Mm-hmm. But fair enough.
So the cowboys. Yay, cowboys.
Yeah, so we're going out to be cowboys.
Felt like a whole movie passed, but now we're cowboys.
It really did. Like,
Where we have 2 weeks to be cowboys to get these cattle.
I'm dying.
Go on. Somewhere I hear a fly laughing.
It's like I puked in your water.
Did you swallow the fly?
No, it's in the kitchen right now.
I don't know why you'd swallow the fly. Sounds like you're gonna die.
It's just flying into the kitchen.
So anyway, also, what the hell's going on with this thing here? They say it's not a dude ranch. It is straight up, it's a actual ranch where they have these cows. They need to get them from wherever to wherever, or somewhere to Colorado, was it?
Yeah.
Or
I think what he means, like, it's not, this isn't like for play. This is for real. Like, we really are.
Yes.
These cattle really are our livelihood. We really are trying to get them from point A to point B.
So why are you entrusting them to a bunch of people, that half of which have just learned how to ride horses?
Well, they're not. They're entrusting them
Did you see the staff he had to work with?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, you are not prepared to be doing this shit.
In theory, as we see by in the movie, only takes three of them to do it, right? In theory.
Yep.
Right? So they have those three, and then there's others just all along for the ride. Really, just along for the ride. And they're tasked with, like, go find a straggler. That's really it. All the major shit we'll handle.
Yeah.
But even their three is like an old man and two drunkards.
The most badass old man there is.
True, but
he did not invest well.
Yeah.
No, the other two guys suck.
Yeah, Cookie. Fucking Cookie.
Yeah, Cookie.
Yeah, he's a reliable dude.
Hey.
Well, I think the whole group hinged on Curly.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Like, he kept them all in check.
I'm sorry, but Cookie is our number one guy.
No. He is our number one guy.
I thought he was a fool that got drunk and stole stuff.
No, he is our number one guy.
Was that Jack Palance too, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, all right.
It was indeed.
Nice.
You're making a Tango and Cash reference?
I'm making a Batman reference, Joe.
God damn it, Joe.
Oh, my God.
Jack Nicholson.
Wait.
Jack Nicholson.
That was Bob the Goon.
I never put that together.
But it was, I mean, it was Jack Nicholson that said it to Bob the Goon, but yeah. Jack Palance said it to Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
That's where he got it from.
Yeah, you're right.
Come on, boys. Get on my level.
Can we just watch the first...
I can't believe you guys just got schooled by Rob.
Yeah, we're going to be. Actually, we're going to pause the episode and
go watch Batman.
We're going to watch Batman.
Can we watch Tim Curry's Batman?
Yes.
Has someone drawn that yet?
Yes. No.
We play every part.
We'll get on every part. Yes.
Including Vicky Vale.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
God damn it, I want to see this happen.
Who are you?
All right, stop. So,
I'm Tim Curry's Batman. But he can't say Batman, he just says Tim Curry's Batman the whole time.
So, we meet the other characters now.
Yeah.
We got Ben and Jerry.
Yeah.
And Ben and Jerry. We got the two dentists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We got
the lady.
Just the lady. Is there somebody
just
else?
Just the lady. That's it.
There's supposed to be more ladies, but they all abandoned her.
Yeah. Right. And then there's two drunkard farmhands that are supposed to help with this possible rapist? Question mark. Whatever. But yeah, we're just kind of meeting each other, and the two drunkards are getting a little too handsy with the lady.
They're like, "Yo, you ever seen a zebra penis before?"
That's not what
they say.
They're
delicious.
It's full of cream.
It's both black and white.
Yeah.
We're going to use the hitting on her technique of don't give her the option to leave and just wear her down. I think it's
scare her into submission. Yeah. That's.
Yeah.
I do like the, you know, oh, I'm getting it. Like, are you getting it?
On the rig.
So creepy.
So thankfully. You
know, show you how to tie a rope.
Thankfully, Vanilla Ice like shows lines, up. Though.
They are. That's also why I'm single, Brian.
Okay. You keep going with that carroty and stuff. So thankfully, Vanilla Ice shows up.
Did you choke himself to death? Did you just tell him to do that?
Not to death.
Just for enjoyment.
Just to completion. He didn't.
That's how it starts, though. Carradine, you know, every time it gets a little harder to finish.
Carradine just didn't know when to quit.
Yeah, eventually you just.
Have you not seen BoJack Horseman, Rob?
Oh. I've not.
Don't. It's depressing.
I know. That's why
I mean, it's
I stopped.
Good, but it's depressing.
I watched like the first five episodes, and I was like, you know what? Another time.
Yeah, it's.
Well, it's fine, but I'm just telling you, I gave you that box for a reason.
I watched the first season of that when it came out in the wintertime when I was already in my shit. Oh, it was rough. It was a rough watch.
It's hard because you're like, oh, it's Job, but he's an anthropomorphic horseman.
You know what the one problem is with BoJack Horseman?
It's not this movie.
Yep. So let's continue. All right, so
I tried, but there seems to be a horse of another stripe coming towards me right now. how's that zebra dong tone?
Tony almost died.
Do you want me to get you a belt?
I'm confused.
Are you gonna make dick and jokes jack or is there
anything else to this?
Tony almost choked on his. Anyway,
I like. I'm confused. Are we just making dick jokes, or is there like an inside joke that I don't know?
Nah, pretty much.
Joe, take over.
Just get us back on track. Dick jokes.
Okay. Just get us to the movie.
So yeah, all right. So these assholes are leaving the lady alone. Billy Crystal comes over, and they're like, "Get the hell out of here!" And then we have Jack Palance show up to save the day. It's Curly. I honestly forgot what he did here.
He threw a knife at a dude's dog. Threw a knife at his balls.
Yeah, speaking of choking, yeah, he first lassos a guy and like almost hangs him over this fence, letting him go at the last minute. And then when he's like, you know, he needs to apologize, and the guy's not really into it, he throws a knife at his dick. And the guy finally is like, yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry. I won't do it again.
And you look at Jack Palance, and he's a pretty intense dude. He's just like, I just took my face off and put it back on for fun.
The Crypt Keeper saves the day.
Yeah. He's like 1,000 years old.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate to say it because I like Jack Palance, but he does kind of remind me, speaking of the Joker, of when he cut his face off and stapled it back on. It's kind of what he looks like here.
And so Mitch is a little nervous.
Or Emperor Smoke. Snoke.
So Mitch is nervous. Yeah. So he's like, oh, hey, thank you. And Jack Palance is just like, you can host the Oscars. I'll get the award.
I seem to have some kind of breathing problem throughout all of this.
Well, that comes into play later. But yeah, at some point, they're all talking about, I believe her name's Bonnie. She's like, says hi to Billy Crystal. And he's like, I'm married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she tries to thank him for standing up to them. And she's just like, I'm married. Yeah, and Ed's giving
him shit for us. He's like, what was I supposed to say to her? And he's like, say like, hey, I like your ass. I'd like to wear it as a hat.
Or you can like not say that.
Yeah. Now, all right. How does one do this?
Well, when she says thank you, you just go, you're welcome.
No,
you're
like, not that. No, I mean, are you supposed
it's
to
It's called
actually
being nice to someone without sexually harassing them.
No, but like, are you supposed to actually like expand the rectum around the top of your head?
Oh, I mean, how does someone wear
I mean, you don't need like a airtight seal here. You just need.
Well, I mean, like, Joe, you lose most of your body heat through your head.
Yep.
So you want to keep it warm. You want to make sure.
Not in the desert.
Yeah, everywhere you go, you
it gets
lose most
real
of your
cold
body
at night in the desert.
That's fair.
Well, if you're wearing an ass as a hat,
he did have trouble finding a hat.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. Are you supposed to like clean poopies out?
You're gonna have severe neck issues.
And this is why we're gonna be 2 hours long. So let's move past this, please. He
if there was anybody there whose ass I was going to wear as a hat, it would be Bodies.
Yeah. Or Norman.
Cookie was second.
I was going for one of the Effet ice cream salesmen.
No, both of those, instant death. Like your neck is done.
You think they buck?
And the guy's gonna be, after it happens, he's gonna be like spoonful of coffee ice cream.
It's the perfect thing to have after you've eaten my asshole.
I haven't eaten it.
Killed you with my girth.
So, Mitch and Ed are having this conversation about how like he did the wrong thing, and talks about commitment and like, are they flirting? Are they not flirting? And yada, yada, and so on. All of which really doesn't mean much or amount to much, but it's a recurring thing throughout this movie.
It's all over your microphone.
Mm-hmm. Damn, I smell it already. Shit. Like,
yeah, that one's got Lindsay to it.
I can smell it.
All right. So after briefly insulting Curly, Mitch just slinks off to bed and tries to forget about it.
Well, it's after Curly walks up behind him.
Yes.
So I think this movie should end, right?
Where
Mitch realizes that he should just do stand-up and be a comedian, because that's how he deals with all his inner frustrations and problems.
He just needs to find a good hobby.
Yeah, like, just do stand-up and, like, you know, make a career out of that. Like,
I mean, that doesn't work for everybody.
Right.
What, am I going to just go do stand-up?
Maybe.
No, I'm not that
funny.
Have
you tried?
You're kind of funny.
Not in front of people.
Well, it's because you hate people.
That's not... I think... Well,
see, you can't just say no.
Rob has a similar issue to me, like, where I think we're reactively funny, but not proactively funny. Like, if you're like, hey, Rob, make me laugh.
I would just punch Joe in the dick. Yeah. I wouldn't know what to do.
But, like, you know, if I say something stupid, Rob's going to burn me on it.
Here's the thing, though.
Like herpes, I burn after the fact.
Yeah, after.
It might take him a little while to get, like, you know, kind of his first act going. But the minute a heckler shows up, he's going to be on fire. And there are comedians that can make a whole career out of that.
Just doing crowd work.
Why did they call you Syphil? Baby, you're going to find out in about 3 days.
So, stuff happens.
Yeah. So
this is when Jack Palance tells him that I crap bigger than you.
He sure does. We go out on the trail. We're getting some cattle going. They're having a conversation as they go along. I think they let some go. And Jack Palance
somewhat go.
They're not paying enough attention. Some of the cattle wander off, so Jack Palance gives them a hard time about it. Then at night they're talking even more.
Full disclosure, I watched this movie several days ago and did not take good notes, so I've only written down choice lines like, if she were a Picasso, she would have three tits, but forgot the entire context with which that was said.
Choice line.
I pretty much skipped over that entire scene, but basically they were watching her ass as she bounced up and down on a horse.
So
this is where we get this conversation about, like, would you cheat on your wife if a really hot alien came down or something?
Yeah, what if she was a Picasso? Well, like, three tits, but also, like... sloth face.
Well, I think that was more his point. He was saying, you know, he referred to her as a Picasso, and the guy was like, oh, you mean she's really attractive, like a lovely painting? And he's like, no, if she was a Picasso, she'd be all jacked up and three tits and whatever. I think it's kind of the deal.
All right, well, let's weigh in on that conversation here with the only married person in the room.
See, now hold on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
If you've been listening
to
the podcast, he has said repeatedly a number of times that would, like, you know, that he would use his hall pass on.
I like five different people.
Wait, I said this?
Yeah.
I'm having trouble remembering this.
So am I. I think these guys are making things up.
Maybe a little bit, but, you know, maybe not.
I think a lot, actually. Not a little bit at all.
So then, like, a hot alien came down.
Okay, so just, all right, let's preface this with the fact that my wife is just in the other room.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
All right.
Doesn't bother us.
All right. So, hot alien.
We're red hair.
Red hair. All right. The thing is, no.
Good answer.
Yeah. I don't know this part. Like,
because, like, what Mitch says, he's like, I would know.
Yeah. Well, there's,
and that's
yeah.
What matters.
Right.
And that's the right horrible. Answer. That's the right answer.
Like,
I would do it, though, for the three-titted Picasso chick, just because, I mean, when are you going to get an opportunity to do that again?
Yeah, but her eyes are just, like, on the same half of her face.
It's like, try something new. You know?
Yeah, Rob, stop being so shallow.
She's got three tits. It doesn't mean they're, like, on her chest.
She might have more than one vagina.
She might.
What are you going to do?
She might at that, Joe. What's your plan here?
This is definitely one of those show up and see what happens kind of
okay.
plays.
She might have a dick.
Well, maybe she does. I don't know.
She might have a zebra pain, man.
Yeah.
She might be rocking one of those.
Point is, being so shallow.
It would be a different and memorable experience. And if it was terrible, you are the only person who would.
All right. that's fine. But as the only married person in the room, yeah, I would know, so I wouldn't be I wouldn't be into that. Also, I don't know this chick. She could have space AIDS.
Yeah, it's ice pirates, it's space herpes. Well, even that still, thing was fucking horrible.
I could just you can't just go get a cream for space herpes.
No, that's that, like, I think they had to hunt it down with a laser rifle.
Which I cannot afford.
Have you ever seen Ice Pirates? That's no. A weird ass movie. Oh.
It's on the list.
Yeah.
All right.
Somewhere.
So, yeah. So at this point, with the Stampede.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Stampede. Oh, this one. Yeah, Ed's just a dick to Phil. When he's talking about, he loves this woman, so he's not going to mess around with her. And then Phil's just like, so just don't mess around. And then he's like, well, you just committed adultery. And then they talk shit, and then they have a fight, and then Curly throws a bucket of water on them.
Yeah, it's just such bullshit, because like, it is the obvious answer. Like, I don't want to mess around with her. And he's like, then don't. And she's like, oh, well, easy for you to say when you just commit. Like, first of all, if you just said you don't, so don't. Second of all, I did because I did. Like, fucking how that works.
Well,
I should have broken up. He should have broken up with his wife first, you know, got divorced or whatever. But
I mean, the underlying thing here story. Is it's not always as cut and dry or as easy as that.
Like, yeah,
true.
Judging by how this table looks right now, I would say the willpower of all four of us is not the strongest in the world, you know?
I just said I'd do it with a Picasso painting.
Yeah.
You sure did.
And, you know.
Roll it up. Like.
I mean, who knows what would happen.
No. Poke a hole in it. Oh, okay. All right. Like Chunk with the painting and Goonies, except the hole's somewhere else.
And as we all know, if you do it through a sheet, it doesn't count. It
doesn't count.
So anyway, yeah. The next morning, Mitch decides to make coffee in his loud, annoying coffee maker, calls a stampede. It's just cows running everywhere.
Yeah.
It causes a whole problem.
I don't get how this worked, because the cows were like, we got to get away from that. And then they did. And then I guess they rallied and they're like, we're going to go fuck that up.
I don't know.
They came right back through the camp and just knocked everything over.
Yeah, I don't.
And then Billy Crystal the whole time, he's still grinding coffee in the tree.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Moron. Yep. I was hoping that Curly would, like, whip it out of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get this shit out of here.
Just shot it. So yeah. The coffee fell on the ground.
I'm also not entirely sure how the sudden appearance of a loud, obnoxious noise made all the cows go crazy and cause a stampede. But then the sudden appearance of a loud, obnoxious noise causes them all to stop.
Well, because that came from Jack Palance.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's a gunshot, and he gave him a hell of a mean look. Yeah, the cows were like, it's that mean look.
That's what did it. All right. So a couple cows got away. So he's like, you know what, Mitch? You're coming with me. We're going to go get those strays.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys later.
Yeah. He gives Mitch the fetch my lube face. Yeah.
For real.
Mitch is like, I am going to die.
Yeah. It's. He also spouts some line about this being deliverance, and it really could go either way here. Jack Palance is just, like, giving these looks.
I haven't made my mind up yet.
Yeah.
So they go collect the cows, the stray cows, but now it's, like, getting dark, because Billy Crystal's been farting around too much. He's, like, messing around with the rope throwing and all this nonsense, and he's just generally being kind of a dumbass. So gets his start.
Generally being inexperienced. But
yeah, but he's not really taking it serious. He's like joking his way around it, and it's not.
Well, that's the way he deals with everything.
Yeah. But when you have a fully loaded Jack Palance in your face, you know, you're going to drop that. Either way, it starts to get dark out, so they can't return to the rest of the people. They have to, like, camp together.
Yep.
And so it's dark out. They're all sitting around their little fire, and Billy Crystal's starting to play the harmonica.
Is it fucking snowing?
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, there's a bunch of accumulation outside.
Joe, don't crash your car.
It's a rental. I got it fully covered.
There you go.
Holy shit. Snowing at 4 a.m.
I don't think it cares what time it is.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, what the hell happens? Okay. So basically, like, Curly's being all scary, sharpening his knife. He's telling Mitch to put his harmonica away. Mitch is like, look, dude, sorry, we got off on the wrong foot. If you're going to murder me, just do it. Otherwise, shut up. I'm going to play my harmonica.
So Jack Palance slices Billy Crystal's throat, and the credits roll.
Yep. All right, and that's City Slickers from 1991. So on Rotten Tomatoes.
No. It really has an abrupt ending.
It really does.
We told you the series got dark, guys. Yeah.
Anyway, so, Curly's just like, all right, this guy's got some stones, so I'll sit next to him and
I'll respect that.
Sing with him.
saying in quotation marks, but yeah.
So now they're bonding.
Yep.
Yeah.
Curly sums up how I feel about Mitch with just, you city folks worry about a lot of shit.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, all of life is this.
He's holding up one finger. He's holding up one finger.
And you got to figure out what that is.
It's the index finger on his right hand. That's what he's holding up.
It's the meaning of life, folks. My index finger.
How interesting would it be, though, if it was the middle finger? Meaning of life is this.
All right, so this is when we see there's a cow that's, you know, thrashing around on the ground, just about to give birth to a calf.
Yeah, it's a visual,
the wrong direction.
It's a visual representation of how I feel after every podcast recording.
Especially the part where Billy Crystal reaches inside you.
Yes.
Pulls out another creature.
This is gross as fuck.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
Straight up Calvage right on the screen.
I'm suddenly curious about how many of your, after we leave, how many of your bowel movements immediately get up and start walking around.
Well, I need Billy Crystal to come in and get elbows deep.
Like he loses his watch in there.
He has lost his watch on occasion.
Like, they gooped up a real baby calf.
Yeah.
And, like, had him pull it out of a fucking dummy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a real ass calf that came out of the fucker.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And true to life, it just gets up and walks.
Yeah. I mean, it was already born at that point. Like,
yeah. No.
Well, yeah. This just was not first walk.
No, but cows, like, cows, they literally, like, right when they're born, they just get up and walk.
Yeah, yes, all those, but like, four, I think the point was.
Almost all four.
Of course, this one would do it.
Like, oh, something's going to kill me. I need to be able to run, like, immediately.
Pretty much. I'm bred to get eight.
I don't have time for all this nursing bullshit. You need to move.
Yeah, giraffes get their ass a drop like 6 feet and then just get out. Like, I'm okay.
If you don't die in the landing, then you're good.
Billy Crystal, Mitch, he's having a moment. He's like, oh, look what I did. It's so cute. And Curly fucking
shoots the mama.
Takes mom out.
I'm just like, okay, well.
She's dying. Suffer.
I'm going to go make a cream cheese and jelly sandwich. Anybody want in on this?
Also, by the way, now Norman's bonded to you, and he's gonna think he's people.
You became a people name.
You gotta suckle him.
I don't get that. People who name their like pets with people names, it just seems weird to me. Like, granted, I did it as a kid, but like, I was dumb as a kid. Now it needs to be like a funny name. Like something that like a pet would have, like
Chairman Meow.
Yeah, like I'll name a cat Brian. Like,
well, I would, and I did. So there.
I don't know. Seems weird to me.
I beat that cat.
Are you saying animals aren't people?
What the fuck? No, they're not. They're animals.
But people are animals.
Tony, I will punch you in the dick.
So anyway, now we know why Brian's abusive to animals. All right, let's move on.
Yeah. So we have this weird conversation where he's nursing Norman. Well, he's talking to everybody else in the group. They made it back to the camp, by the way. Yeah. Like we see that one of the ice cream guys has the ability to name the perfect flavor for any kind of food,
which is garbage. It's nonsense. Like, he just makes up flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing. He might be totally right, but again, if you're not trying it, how do you know?
Right. Like,
so who cares?
He could be saying anything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, granted, this guy does look like he's eaten most foods.
True.
But, all right, I would even argue, though, like, I'm sure he believes he's right. And maybe for him, he is.
Maybe.
But what the hell does that, like, what is, what are we doing with our lives? What is happening here?
He's opened 1,400 retail stores to sell ice cream across the country. Mm. So he's doing big things with his life.
And he's opened 1,400 cans of that ice cream across his lifetime.
Wow.
His palate has gotten him paid, so.
Yeah.
No, good for him. Again, I don't need to see it.
I think he can, like, regurgitate little bits of different flavors into his mouth so he can kind of swirl it around.
All right, so I think I already know the answer, but does this guy get, like, into the Fat Chat Champion Club here?
No.
I mean, real talk, it's not hard to get to be a Fat Chat member. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
But like, they didn't eat anything in the whole movie,
right.
So I need more proof.
Later on, when the food's in peril, he doesn't make any kind of dive.
Not one bit.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right. So yeah. Membership rejected.
Yeah. No. Like the little girl in Jurassic Park: Lost World. She ate mad snacks.
Yeah.
In 20 minutes, she ate a whole week's worth of snacks.
Kick a velociraptor out a window.
Fat Chat right there. Like, you're in.
And first Jurassic Park, little Tim. He's going to town on that Jello.
Yeah.
Man. We haven't seen that one yet,
we'll
though.
We'll save that for...
My bad. My bad. Yeah. I'm sorry, Rob. Holy shit.
A tear just snuck out.
That was not a tear. That was like the shittiest face that ever came on my face.
Shit, I got scared.
I feel a little bad. Yeah. I feel like our friendship changed. Oh,
we haven't seen Jurassic Park. It's 4 o'clock in the morning and we've had better things to do with our time. Just stop.
Wait, what?
Nothing. Anyway.
So, yeah, Billy Crystal's like, hey, let's get Curly in on this conversation.
Yeah, like I just made friends with Curly. He's a good guy. Let's go. Let's get him over here.
Well, they're talking about baseball versus like girl life. Relationship life. Conversations.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Not girl talk.
But you know. They used the Lucy defense.
What's the Lucy defense?
The defense that Lucy gives to Schroeder about why Beethoven isn't famous because he's not on bubblegum cards.
Oh, okay.
And they legit use that same defense. They're like, oh, well, relationships, they don't have cards about relationships.
They have magazines about those.
That's true. Yeah. They have Cosmo with the same 50 hot sex positions to please your man.
They renamed them.
I actually appreciated that conversation, though, because I'm not a sports dude. I used to be, but, like, not really. I'm not going to sit there and talk about every stat that ever someone had, whatever. But, like... So I get where she was coming from, that aspect, but like, just because it's not what you do doesn't mean it's not what someone else does. Mm-hmm. And if they choose to do that to be like their way of connecting with each other, then that's what Phil says.
And I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
But like, also what it mainly comes down to is there are those that want to, you know, spend more time talking about their life and things that are going on with it. And then there are those that are like, I don't like my life or whatever, for whatever reason, I want to avoid life and go into a fantasy world, whether it's talking about baseball stats,
going to Witcher camp,
characters going to Witcher camp, video games, whatever. It's
screwing
escapism.
Up Picasso.
Yeah. So that's really what it comes down to, is like you and your friends like to talk about what's going on with your lives. Like the three guys over here, we're all like miserable in our lives. So we like to talk about anything else.
I mean, that's a bit becoming much because like you can be a baseball nut and still talk about everything in your life. Not be escapism.
I don't think anyone
it's not either or.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is one or the other. Yeah.
I didn't mean to start all that. I was just saying that it's silly to me that they used
the
same argument that is used in Charlie Brown Christmas cartoon.
Either way, the conversation was so riveting that it killed Curly.
Yes.
Yeah. He was legit like,
no thanks, I'll
die. You city folks worry about too much shit.
he was dead for so long over there, rigor mortis set in, and he's dead standing up.
Are you saying something, just because something isn't popular, it's not good? Ugh, I'm going to die. So... Yeah. Yeah,
Billy Crystal Mitch comes over to talk to him, and yeah,
he's dead.
He is ceased.
So we bury him real fast.
The way he would have wanted it.
Yeah, I don't know, somehow. But we even make a little marker for him. Mm. We have a nice little ceremony,
take
as
his
nice
clothes.
As you can.
Yeah, like, do they bring him naked?
Well, they took his coat and his
hat.
I
don't think
was it just his coat and his
hat?
Yeah,
I don't think he's naked. So. I think they took
I mean, that was a sweet coat and a sweet hat.
So I'm like, did they bury him without clothes on? Like,
so who took his firearm? Or did they bury him with that?
I don't know.
They should have buried it that, right?
Well, I would argue, like, he didn't take his hat off that whole damn movie. He should have been buried with that shit, too.
True story.
He's going to need you really should have buried him with his hat.
Yeah, if you took it off, the only reason would be to put it on that little cross on his grave. That's it.
Yeah.
It'll be there at least till you write.
Yeah.
Anyway, so now we have a conversation about Phil, Mitch's Ed's best and worst days. I liked this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It summed up their characters pretty well.
Yeah.
Feel real bad. So about the best day of his life, the day he got married, you know, and talk about the high he felt. And then every day since then has been a tie for his worst day.
Yep.
that was, I felt like that wasn't serious, but like it kind of was. But his best day was his dad winked at him because him and his dad had a weird relationship. But it was at his wedding, it was a good day.
His worst day was when his uncle winked at him.
Mitch's was a story about his dad bringing him to the Yankees game. That was a great day for him. And Ed's was the day he stood up to his dad for being mean to his mom, told him to never come back.
Being an abusive, cheating a-hole.
Yeah, he's like, never come back. I'll take care of him from now on. And
what's his worst day?
The same day. Like,
yeah, and Mitch's worst day, we get into a conversation because his worst day is when he thought his wife had breast cancer, but they're like, that's the best day because it ended well and whatever. But yeah.
So what we see while this is happening is that Cookie is hitting the bottle hard.
Hard.
I think he's acting like Curly's death didn't bother him, but yeah.
I think he had a crush.
Oh, is that what you think spurred this on?
I would guess so.
So it wasn't like Curly's not being around to stop him from drinking so much as it was him. Like,
it could have been that too.
Losing a friend.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of both.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Because yeah, that might be his coping mechanism for problems. And then Curly was always the one that like told him when he needed to stop.
Like, yeah. I'd give him that one if the way he was drunk mirrored that, but he was like usually when you
wanted a Karate Kid moment,
like when you're drinking to because things shit on your mind like that, like it comes out while you're drunk still. Mm-hmm. Like this guy got drunk, pulled his pants up, put a happy face on his butt.
This was like a premeditated drunken rampage. Yeah, like
he started throwing food out of the fucking wagon. Karen. When he's the cook, like fuck, what the fuck are you doing, like. Dude.
I mean, it wasn't the greatest happy face, but he drew a pretty symmetrical happy face on his own ass.
Yeah, if you're not seeing it.
I think he had an accomplice.
While moving.
While moving.
I mean, it was on par with Bart Simpson's happy face on his butt.
Yeah.
So maybe he was just staring at his own mortality, like caused him to kind of...
He says that in a minute when he's about to go off the cliff.
There is that.
So, go ahead.
No. Please.
Yo, dude just drove around, threw all the food out, and then just fucking like Toon Sister Driving Cat style just drove the wagon off the cliff.
Now, would the horses do that?
Probably not.
Maybe they couldn't stop?
I think in a wagon, I think they would.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they, because the way they're set in there, I think they just know to go forward. I don't know. Because, I mean, you can get, you can get a horse to do some pretty crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know, if you've trained it right, like they've got horses to like ride in the path of charging tanks and stuff like that. So I don't know. I think the horse would be more inclined to listen to the person steering the wagon than anything else. I think if a person was riding the horse would be like, nah.
Yeah,
fair enough.
But the horse is kind of thinking like, this is where all of us are going. So we're just going to go that way.
Yeah.
So fair. The horses die.
Mm-hmm.
The wagon's destroyed. They bury the horses.
Cookie broke his legs.
Cookie broke
his
horses
sort of self-bury.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's a whole thing. God damn it.
It's like the impact did most of the work. We just kind of covered him with dirt.
Thanks, Mitch.
Totally a comedian.
Do you think that, like, they that originally was just like a tremor under there and they just buried it?
Oh, maybe. So now it's nighttime again and the cowhands, the...
Mm-hmm. Well, they found Cookie's alcohol. Also, at this point, the two dentists have left the was it?
No, just ranch hands.
Yeah, Mitch had cow hands. Yeah.
The two dentists have left the party to take Cookie to get medical attention.
Yeah.
Like, this many people is superfluous. Let's leave.
And yeah.
We have no point in this movie. Let's get out.
Yeah. The two cowboys have found Cookie's stash and they're drinking.
Which also, I didn't fully understand that. They're like, oh, I found out how he's sneaking his beer in these beer bottles. Yeah.
He's sneaking it in his tummy.
The old hiding in plain sight trick.
Who would have thought?
I just walked it right in. Okay, I see. Clever.
A bold move.
So they get drunk. They're shooting bottles. Everybody's watching them, I guess, fearfully. And they just get a bug up their ass to be like, you know what? Let's kill a person or an animal or something. So they start threatening Norman.
Sociopaths. Like, it's fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put a gun in the calf's mouth.
Yeah, they put a gun in the poor cat. Oh.
And they put some homosexual slurs in their own mouths.
Mm. Yeah, they
do. Yeah, they talk all kinds of shit at Mitch. Who Mitch just comes out and he's just like, hey, can... Just go sleep. We kind of need you to get the cows.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to go out there, let them humiliate me for a little bit, and then hopefully they'll stop. They seem to be, I don't know, they want blood or something.
Yeah, they want to actually fight him.
Yeah. So a little brawl breaks out. Some people get punched in the face.
Mitch gets punched.
Yeah, just Mitch. Just Mitch.
Well, then, yeah, Ed runs out and he like channels some Joe Pesci and punches the first drunk cowboy to the ground.
That'd be amazing if
he was channeling Joe Pesci.
Well, if he did that launch,
he channeled it, but he didn't. He didn't fully commit. He didn't do that. The full diving crossbody punch.
That would have been amazing thing
for my cousin Vinny. Yeah, and then. But then the other guy, I think his name was TR, pulls his gun. So then, which came, Phil comes in here, and Phil's had enough of just life in general. He's letting it all out now. He has like a falling down moment here.
Yeah, he has this whole breakdown.
That's on the list, right? Falling down?
Yeah.
Yes.
He has this whole breakdown, you know, like he lost his wife. Because of that, he lost his job.
Fault. His fault.
He's gonna lose his kids. He lost all his money.
His fault.
Because of his choices.
Choice of me. That's what happens.
Yeah,
it doesn't make it less painful for him. But I mean,
I still have some sympathy for crying out loud.
Nope.
Yeardley Smith.
Yeah. Like, no.
Well, but I think that's actually what I like about this scene, though. Is I'll explain in a minute after we describe what happens.
Well, anyway, he grabs the gun. He starts waving it in this dude's face. He's just like, you're a bully. I hate bullies. I'm going to,
take away your dignity.
Yeah, some shit's about to go down here. And just like they crap their pants and run off eventually. He lets them go.
Well, yeah. And then when he goes back in the tent, I think that's when he has he comes to the realization that this pretty much all is his fault. And he did make the wrong choices. And, that's when he gets like crazy sad and he's like, I got to start over and all that, has his breakdown. But then I think ultimately, that is where his arc turns to, from that point on, he's like, all right, we're going to be okay.
Yep. Stuff happens. You make bad decisions.
Yep.
You just turn around, you take your lumps and you move forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good lesson. It's a little scary when he's like waving the gun around when he's deciding all this, but
it's funny when he does it to Kevin McAllister though.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah. In fairness, Kevin McAllister hit him in the head with a paint can. So.
Dude, we'll talk about that soon. All right. I'm
save
sure.
That for another podcast. We find out that these two ranch hands ended up just completely taken off. They left them in the dust. So we're just left with our three amigos here and the lady...
Bonnie.
And
Jen and Barry.
What?
Jen and Barry.
Sure. So they're kind of freaking out. They're like, what do we do? We don't really know where we're going. We don't know what we're doing.
Ed's like,
we're all gonna
my
die.
Moment has come.
We're all going to die.
This is it. This is the thing he's been searching for, the moment where he can
reclaim his manhood.
Yeah. He's like, I'll take the herd in.
Yeah.
Phil's like, I literally have nothing to lose. I'll go with you.
Exactly. But Mitch is like, you guys are crazy. I'm going to take them back and we're just going to go home and be safe. Mm-hmm. And you guys are nuts for doing this. But they go off. They're trying to get the herd together. They're having a hard time with it when a bunch of the cows are wandering off. When suddenly Mitch shows up all, blazing saddles and whatever. Yeah. And with his new hat that he stole from Curly.
Look to me at the east at the dawn of the fifth day.
Yeah. So he shows up like a real damn hero.
Yes. So he just left this Bonnie.
Yep.
And these Bonnie two and useless idiots. Yep.
To just wander off and die somewhere.
With no food.
With no food.
Correct.
They eat Ben or Jerry, one of those guys. The one that gets the ice cream. He's filled with ice cream.
I'm just picturing the fat guy left riding the horse with the remains of the other two and their horses that he's just feeding off of. He gets back to camp.
Someone draw that.
Somebody draw
that. And tell us what flavor of ice cream.
Well, that's when they find him. They'll find him around the bodies and he'll be talking about the ice cream.
Again, quick side note. That was going to be my response when he's like, challenge me, ask me anything, and I'll tell you what ice cream goes with it. I'd be like, when we start starving to death and I eat your ass, what should I have with it? Anyway.
If you're going to eat my ass, I prefer syrup.
Chocolate or strawberry?
Maple. What are you talking about?
Anyway. They're just abandoned because they weren't used for the plot, so they're gone now. The flirting going between Bonnie and Mitch no longer matters.
Really, it was we couldn't afford that many stunt doubles, so we need to get rid of people that would need them for the next scenes coming up.
So they reunite.
There's a kind of funny scene where they're talking about programming the VCR.
Yeah.
I mean, not really funny now because you don't have VCRs and like all your devices are
easier to program. Yeah, 90% of that shit doesn't matter.
Yeah. But anyway.
But back in the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is basically just funny because Ed gets all pissed off because Phil's not getting it. He's like, even the fucking cows get it by now. But we're like, oh, it's starting to get, rainy,
stormy,
and crappy. And yeah, there's some lightning strikes. And
there's a black stormy.
I was going to say it. Like,
So we find out they do come across this river that they were told about. They decide they're going to cross it anyway. Mostly Ed is just like, fuck it. Come this far. Like, cross.
The whole rest of this movie is like you don't know where the fuck you were going.
Yep.
There's a river. Okay, which way do I go next? You don't fucking know. No one fucking knows. Like, just they'd be lost as fuck.
They're told they're crossing a river.
There's fucking mountain lions and like other.
You're thinking of Red Dead again.
Bears.
There's one cabin. There's one cabin with 20 mountain lions around it.
Around it. Yeah.
One hit, your horse is done.
Donezo.
So stupid. But it's okay. If you just sit in the cabin with the door open, they can't come in and get you. You just pick them off.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, you got to go back and play that.
Oh, man.
Get some achievements.
I think they can come in, but like they generally
can't. No, they can't.
No?
No, believe me.
Because you get to like one shot hit in the head them for an achievement, right?
Yes.
Well, isn't it pretty much almost like a quick time, like, it's either you shoot them or they kill you pretty much instantly, right?
Pretty much, yeah, with those killers.
More often than not. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Sorry.
I don't remember what the achievements are.
All right. So
there's something for killing.
You get a run-of-the-mill scene where they cross the river. Norman, of course, floats away. Billy Crystal has to come in with the save. The buddies have to come in with the save on Mitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's working together as a team. Yeah. Rah, rah, rah.
Like, they have my a good question laugh is, after. PETA, right?
Yeah.
Like, they use real animals for all these stunts and stuff. Like, it was a real cow in the water.
Yep.
Real calf in the water. Like going. He was holding a real calf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, how do y'all make sure it was safe? Like, that shit looked crazy as fuck.
It had pool floaties.
That shit looked crazy as
it
fuck.
It probably, well, it's supposed to look crazy as fuck, but it probably was very safe condition.
I'm there sure were probably it wasn't people right river. Down the river yeah. that would have grabbed it.
Well, I'm sure it probably wasn't even a real river for that portion. Yeah. It's like in a pool somewhere or some shit. And okay. Like, you know, the water's not deep enough for it to drown and everything.
Thank you, Tony. Yeah. I feel better now. Because I'm like, damn, that's real animals in this shit. Like,
no. It's just a scuba diver with a puppet. Yeah,
which I'd have been okay with, but it was like, man, it was like mooing and shit. Like,
they in Japan, they didn't just throw a cow in a box. Yeah, cow in a box and toss it off the waterfall.
Those days are over, son.
There was a little person under the water just holding the cow up.
It's entirely possible someone was under there.
Every time they needed it to move, it was just
give Frank Welker dubbing over the sounds.
Yeah, it could have been Frank Welker.
We should check the cast to make sure.
I don't want to know.
All right, so now they bring the cows into the ranch. Yay.
Yeah.
Like, how they fucking, like, just, whatever.
Movie magic.
Yeah, movie magic. Yeah.
How did they know where they were going? How did the others know where they were going? How did Cookie
probably
get
the
there?
Cows just somehow knew where to go.
Yeah.
I mean, that is entirely possible. If they do that back and forth all the time, that is
but how did Bonnie
possible.
Get there and shit?
Because
well, once they got to, like, cars and whatnot.
How'd they get there?
Well, Cookie obviously was there, so, you know,
No, because if you're not driving cows, you can go so much faster on a horse.
Or over roads.
Yeah.
Because they
No, I get all that, but, like, Bonnie and Ben and Jerry just went off forward because that's where they thought they were going to go.
You could smell cooking at the ranch.
The ranch was, like, an hour away.
Yeah, it really was. It was super close.
They probably were just, like, real close.
Probably
just
like,
a river.
Right across the state border. Yeah. But also, if they do this all the time, there are probably trails there. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know.
Didn't look like it, but maybe.
I mean, I know they're crossing country, but it's not 1902. Like, no,
I understand.
This isn't the Oregon Trail.
It's not.
No one died of dysentery.
We don't know what killed Curly.
You didn't get enough food to feed your whole party. One of you dies.
All right, then we get this pseudo sad moment where they're surprised to find out that the cows are destined to be hamburgers.
Yep.
And I'm like, motherfuckers, you still, you know, you got no problems eating them. Like, why are you so sad?
When I grow up, I'm going to Bovine University.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Well, you know, they spent time with them. They feel kind of connection or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, they did all this work to save them and the river and everything. So
what did they think was going to happen to them, though?
Well, they probably thought they were dairy cows.
Yeah, they thought they were just doing this every year. You still
eat the dairy cows after a certain point.
But. Yeah, but not right when you bring them back. Yeah. But, you know, the farmer's like, all right, well, my... you know, my trail lead died.
Yeah.
My other two ranch hands ran off.
Yeah, they're MIA.
My cook is disabled. Two of my horses are dead. I don't have any food or provisions. The
wagon's destroyed.
The wagon is destroyed. I got no money. You guys broke me. You broke me on this trip. I gotta sell these cows, man.
So, yeah, they're a little, you know, a little sadful about it. Sad.
Yeah, they were sadful.
Sure.
Whatever.
Mitch is like, not Norman. Went through too much not shit with baby. That cow.
Plus the farmer's like, and I'm not charging you guys for this trip. Not because you're awesome. I just don't want this on the books.
His
man.
Wife's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, she was not. Please.
How are we going to eat this winter? We're going to
cows,
die.
Man.
Yeah. He's like, I don't want y'all to sue me because you got threatened. That's, yeah, that's probably and left for this dead.
Never happened.
Yeah. They were left dead for real. Like, yeah.
It's like, I'm going to kill everything I'm legally able to that remembers this trip and bribe the rest.
Yeah. I can give you a refund just as soon as you sign here. Don't bother reading it. Yeah. Just put your name.
I made y'all a bunch of roofie coladas.
Yeah, if you want to find out if your money got stolen from us, just sign here that says you can't sue us if it was stolen. Here you go.
And then just let me know if this rag smells like chloroform to you.
Let's all have some absinthe and just chill for a while.
So we're you know, we're kind of having a wrap-up conversation where Mitch tells him he knows what the one thing is, and that's that they need to figure out what their one thing is, but he knows what his one thing is. Yeah, blah, 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 one. So we all fly back home, where he's greeted by his wife and his kids.
Which is one thing.
Is it, though?
Well, it's framed in such a way.
Family.
It's meant to be his one thing.
I gather that the one thing, as we are about to find out, is Norman, the cow.
Norman's part of his family now.
Yeah.
It turns out it's just a Finger 11 song.
Huh?
Are you talking about, was that one, Paralyze?
No. Finger Bang?
Yes.
Girl, oh girl, you so girl, yeah girl.
Okay.
Anyway.
Did I get the band wrong?
I think so.
Finger 11's the one that's... Yeah, they have the song. I think it's called Paralyzer.
I don't know. Is that like...
They sound like a pop version of Disturbed.
I think he's trying to think of the band that had the song One Thing.
Is that like One Step Up from like Shocker, the Paralyzer? Is that like
One... Yeah.
It's slightly different from the Shocker.
So anyway...
I'm trying to look
it involves up. Billy Crystal losing his watch.
Billy Crystal...
He never got that back, did he?
No, he didn't.
Billy Crystal, now, you know, he's back with his wife and his kids. He's feeling better. He found his smile.
Oh, Phil got with Bonnie in.
Because of fucking reasons.
Well, he's like, what the hell else am I going to do?
Yeah.
Sure.
Her character didn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the... Okay.
She had three lines the whole movie. Her character didn't matter.
Yeah. And it's just like, I'm going to go put a baby in this and they take off. Yeah, and that's pretty much all of it. We just...
Well, the family meets Norman and... I don't think Mitch fully understands how much crap that calf is going to leave in his van.
Yeah.
And den.
Yeah, he plans on taking it back to his apartment on the something floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's
pretty sure he's violating some building codes.
Oh, for sure. And there's no way you're sneaking that cow in there.
I mean, I believe they did address that in City Slickers 2, where he moved to a more rural neighborhood.
Yeah,
they have like a big sprawling ranch or something.
And he went jogging with Norman in the beginning.
Any of that shit, but all right. But yeah, we just kind of see them driving home with the cow hanging its head out the window. Cute. It is cute. Although the cow would probably get really sick. But that's the end of it. That's City Slickers from 1991.
Yeehaw! Oh, sorry.
So on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave City Slickers a whopping score of 90%. Audience gave this a score of 64%.
Really?
Wow.
Really. Although they gave it...
Wait, what was the critic score? It is
180 million worth of shit. Critic score was 90%. Okay. Audience score was
64%.
Mm-hmm. What about your score or personal opinion, possible recommendation, or whatever, so have you, Rob?
I feel both of those numbers are off. I mean, I would put this in the, like, 75 to 80.
Like, average the two numbers together?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's a watchable movie. Like, I enjoyed it, but that's not, like, I'm not blown away. Like, maybe the critics were going after, like, going for it mostly because of, like, the deeper parts, like, the deep conversations that are had. Maybe they found something in there. But other than that, it's like, it's trying to be a feel-good movie, but at times it's, like, super depressing. So, I don't know. It was enjoyable. So, yeah, I'll recommend it.
Joe?
So, I'm going to recommend it as well. Even though I didn't identify with the movie very well, and I can't say there's any scenes that I'm like, I need to see that scene again. So I don't think I'll ever really watch it again, but it's not a bad movie. It's just not my kind of movie, but I think it was well done. I liked the three main characters. I thought, Jack Palance was real cool. Got to see a cow birth and, you know, more Calvage than I ever thought I really wanted to see in a movie. But yeah, I mean, it had parts where it made me laugh. So, yeah, I will give it a recommend.
Brian?
I like this movie. I still like it. I mean, it's for different reasons now that I'm an adult. It resonates much differently for me now. You know, being, I'm about the same age as the characters in this movie. And, you know, still trying to find some direction in what I'm trying to do. So, kind of resonates a little bit. But I still laughed a lot. I still found it funny. Like, I would definitely recommend it. I give it a solid B. You know, I wouldn't give it an A minus the way they did, but I give it a solid B. It's not one I'm going to watch, like, me watch it again next week. Like, no, but, like, you know, comes on, I'm watching it. Like.
Yeah. I like Rob's assertion of the average of two scores together somewhere in the 70s, I think would be right.
Let's see what.
Yes.
Check it out. All right.
Yeah,
six times.
So, yeah, I'm a bit torn. I guess I'm kind of with you guys, although I'm leaning more towards like a C+, just because I feel like this probably should have been Daniel Stern's movie or Phil's, because like he has the most going on with all this. Like he's the, like, say what you will about him causing this, because he does. He causes his own destruction, but like he's got the most happening here, like with going from, you know, having a wife and kids and a job to having nothing to going out on this trail, learning about himself and finding himself anew and starting over with a new lady friend and whatever. Whereas, like, Mitch is almost his side character, or should have been, even though they put most of the romance around him, weirdly. So that's a little clunky, but it's not, you know, it's not offensive. It's a totally harmless movie. It's fun enough. So yeah, if you're interested, give it a watch. But yeah, it's not one I'm eager to throw in again.
Oh, I find it interesting, like, that you would say, like, it's like not Mitch's movie, whatever, because like Mitch is the middle and his friends are his side because they're opposite choices.
Yep.
Like Mitch is kind of just going with what's happening in his life, whereas Phil, he made a choice to cheat to try and find happiness somewhere else. Like, and that's what happens when you do this choice. And Ed was like, he was the guy that was free spirited. He's like, I made a choice to settle down, and I was kind of not really feeling it. Like, well, so it's about the choice that they make.
Phil's feeling the pressure from making a bad choice very early on in his life, and then Ed has been running away from having to make a choice his whole life.
Yeah.
But that's, I get what you're saying, but that's kind of my point, is that Mitch is very much the middle ground, which I don't feel is all that as interesting.
Well,
because there's not as much going on there, because he is very middle ground.
And that's fair. That's how you feel. That's fair. I'm not trying to knock your opinion or whatever.
I think because all three of the characters get a full story arc. Like, nobody doesn't get the full
sort of,
character arc to themselves. So I think maybe if they focus on...
I think the dentist's son, he didn't get a full
story arc. He really didn't. Well, he did.
He did.
Because at the end, he's like, I want to go back on the trail
Cookie
with my dad.
No, Cookie...
Cookie learned his lesson by breaking his damn leg, as he should have. Those horses didn't get a full story arc. This is random.
Someone didn't get a full story arc. But you got to go way down the cast list to find that person.
No, Bonnie definitely didn't. Yeah. She got shafted by this whole movie.
Not yet.
No, I just
by the whole movie, not by Phil.
That happened on the plane ride.
I think Mitch was the main character because he was the most easily accessible out of the three for the audience member. Like, I think if they went with either Ed or Phil, it would have been like too much to try and like focus on to make the movie about.
It lost me immediately. I'd be like, because I'd be like, you made that choice, dude.
Because they need to make him a side character in order to make him a likable character. Like,
sure.
What was his character in Home Alone? Daniel Stern. Was he Marv or was he?
He was Marv.
Yeah, I mean, you're not gonna focus a movie around Marv when you got Miracle Max on the cast.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello.
Yeah, that's the catchphrase.
Is that a thing?
That was a catchphrase.
I know it was a thing after this movie, but was that a thing with him before?
Oh, I have no idea. All
right. Anyway, moving on from there. What else do we have for the people, Brian?
So, next week, we gonna do our Christmas special.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Is that time again?
Yeah, it sure is. Now, it'll be a little bit after Christmas when it comes out, but you guys get the point.
We'll see Christmas how motivated time I feel. Yeah.
So it'll be well after Christmas. When
that's right. But we're going to watch Dancer again in Home Alone.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hopefully we'll have a special guest with us this time too, you know?
Yeah, Joe Pesci's going to be on the show.
He's like his fifth appearance on the show, something like
that. Yeah, he'll be our special guest.
He's coming as Predator Joe Pesci.
So, I got heat vision now.
Do we induct him as a Fat Chat member just from being on so much? Or does he need to eat?
No, he's got to prove himself. You don't.
Yeah, I felt a little weird asking it. And
you don't get an honorary degree from Fat Chat University.
I think
you earned that shit.
I mainly got distracted because I wasn't thinking about Predator Joe Pesci. I was thinking about Diabetes Joe Pesci, where he comes in a turtle costume and gives us snacks.
Well, I'll tell you this.
I want him to be our mascot.
I watched Home Alone this past week. And Macaulay Culkin's getting a Fat Chat membership.
Yeah, I'm remembering now. He had some pretty innovative things he was building.
Some stuff.
Did you see Macaulay Culkin put out a little vine where he's driving in a car with a friend of his, and his friend's like, you don't understand what I went through. I mean, like, 8-year-old kid left at home while his parents forgot him. They didn't forget his older brother. They brought him. Like, he's like going nuts. He's like traumatizing. Home invaders come in. It's kind of funny. He's all like cracked out looking.
I did see that. Yes, because he was cracked
out. That's just Macaulay Culkin.
I will also remember, though, that he does, in fact, like, gets in a lot of trouble at the beginning of that movie because he's about to fight his brother for eating cheese pizza that was supposed to be his. So
yeah, I mean, we'll talk about this. We'll talk about
anyway,
this.
All right, what else we got for the people,
Rob? Cutest 8-year-old.
I mean... Yeah, it's going to be a lot of that. Oh, guys, we want to thank you so very much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our website at forlornpodcast.podbean.com and consider subscribing to a new episode every week. Please help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes and liking us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You can find us there at 4AM Podcast. If you'd like to contact us, you can email us any old time at the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
All right. So, thank you for joining us. We hope you join us once again next week for our holiday special with Home Alone. Until then...
Deuces.
If you traded it all, something, balls away.
Hello.
Good night.
Move.
Wow, that's really loud.
Did we record that?
Yes.
Okay.